Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Good evening. It is very, very good to be here again with you. And very good to always fill the pulpit in Andrew's absence. As well, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23 and 24, just put a marker there because we'll be referencing that section of Scripture in the Old Testament several times tonight, and then we'll be going to 1 John near the beginning, the middle of our lesson this evening. We're going to be talking about the general's final orders tonight. We're going to be talking about Joshua's final instructions. Final things that he says to the people, the nation of Israel. I want you to imagine for just a minute that you only had one moment. That you only had one thing that you could tell your kids, or your spouse, or your best friend. Imagine that you only had time to say this one thing. You were on a severe time constraint, and you had to tell them, and you would never be able to see them ever again. This would be the final words, the final thing that you told them. What parting words would you give? What would you say? You might say something like, "Remember me. Remember who I was. Remember what I stood for." You might turn it around in the other direction and say, "Remember, always remember who you are. Never forget that. Don't ever compromise. Always stand up for what's right." You may give some generic advice, like never give up. Whatever comes to your mind, whatever you said would be incredibly important. It would not easily be forgotten by the person that was hearing it. And your last words, by all accounts, would not be easily forgotten at all. On June 14th of 2000, it's crazy to say that because that was 16 years ago, I sat in a smelly Waffle House in Nashville with my family, my mom, my dad, and my sister. And in less than an hour, I was going to bid them farewell and head off to Marine Corps basic training in Parris Island, South Carolina. I never liked goodbyes. I'm sure that most of you, I've never met any person that really does like a goodbye. But I knew that for the least 3 months, I would not see or hear from my family. One of the aspects of Marine Corps training is a separation from the civilian life that you once knew. They will literally break you down and build you back up in the image of the Marine Corps. And so granted, it wasn't any kind of permanent separation or permanent farewell, but to be an 18-year-old and not see your family or hear from any of your friends for 3 months might as well have been an eternity. And I will never forget what my dad said to me that day. I don't remember a lot about that day, but I remember what my dad said. As I was getting ready to step onto that bus, I remember him saying, and he didn't cry very much, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Don't ever forget, always keep your head up. Always keep your head up." And then he quickly added, "Unless you know you're getting shot at or something, then you know, keep it down. It's fine." And my dad has always been a joker, and he's always tried to alleviate tense situations with humor. But what he said has stuck with me for almost a decade and a half. Anything I do, whether it's in ministry, whether it's here at Graymeer, whether it was in college, whether it was mowing the yard, I'm trying to do the best that I possibly can, and I've learned to take pride in what I do to keep my head up, and I've remembered that advice over the years. So what we have here in Joshua 23, we see that Joshua is now an old man. He has trusted in God all of these years. And God has brought them, through Joshua's leadership, to this place of peace. Let's turn there to Joshua 23, and we're going to look over this passage, and I want to reference certain things here in 23 and 24. You may notice, and you may think about this at the end, that Israel has been at war for a long time. They've been at war for a long, long time. But now there's this period of peace. And Israel, for all intents and purposes, has their enemies under their boot. It's been 14 years since the fighting stopped, and Joshua is calling together the leaders of this nation because Joshua knows that for him, the end is coming. The end is very near for him. And Joshua knows something else that's very important, though. Not only does he know that his time is short, but he knows that this is a new generation. This is a generation that never saw the miraculous things that God did for the people of Israel. They never saw all the plagues, and they never saw all the different things that happened, all the miracles that God did to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But they've been at war for a long time. And Joshua chooses his words very, very carefully here. He begins and he tells them what God has done for them and what has led them to this place. In fact, in the first half of chapter 24 is actually just that. It's a history lesson about how God has delivered this nation. He's telling them, recounting what has happened about how they have turned. He helped them turn from the false gods to the one true God. He says along these lines that any future enemies, any kind of enemies that come up against them, will be vanquished so long as they trust in the Lord their God. He implores the nation not to turn from the law of Moses. And he uses this phrase, not from either the right hand nor to the left. He tells them not to mix with these nations in marriage or in religion. And that's a theme that we hear a lot, to not intermarry with other religions. Why do you think that is? It's not because of racism or bigotry here on God's part, but it's because God knew how impressionable His people were. He knew that if they did intermarry to other religions, that they would be swayed by those religions and they would turn away from Him, the one true God. And Joshua has many words to say from experience here in these final two chapters of this book. And if you only had one chance, if you only had one chance to tell the next generation of Christians what was most important, what would you say? Tonight we're going to dive into three of these things, three of the general's final orders here in these two chapters tonight, and make applications to our Christian lives here in 2013. We're going to find out that there's a lot that we can learn from Joshua. So in the first place tonight, number one, Joshua simply says to stick to the word. He says, stick to the word. Chapter 23, verse 6. Chapter 23, verse 6, he says, therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it from neither to the right hand nor to the left. When I was a youth minister, I loved working with young people. I still love working with young people on the occasions that I get to do that. But if you've ever had a teenager as a parent, or if you are currently have a teenager as a parent, you know that young people are constantly trying to find loopholes. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're trying to constantly figure out how to push the envelope, how to push you, how to push your buttons, push the limits of what they can do, and sometimes that's in a negative way. I used to have conversations all the time with kids about, you know, they say, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Why? We sometimes look at the Bible and we look at Scripture and we see a don't kind of lifestyle, a don't or a can't kind of lifestyle. And what I mean by that is that sometimes we emphasize what we don't do so much that has become what we have let ourselves define ourselves as Christians. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do all these other things or whatever, so, and I go to church, I must therefore be a Christian. Have you ever seen a mannequin? I got a picture up there on the screen here. You ever seen a mannequin? Of course you have. You've seen a mannequin. You go into a department store. They're dressed up in nice clothes that are trying to sell you different things, dressed up with different kinds of jewelry to showcase that different kinds of jewelry. They're lifeless. They're faceless. They're made to look like humans. So if I were to take that mannequin here tonight and dress him up in this same suit and tie right here, put him right here on the front row, you know what? He would be here for every single service. He would. He wouldn't sing or pray because, you know, he's a mannequin and, you know, mannequins don't do that, right? They're not alive. But he would be here for every service. He would hear every sermon. He also wouldn't drink. He wouldn't smoke. He wouldn't do all those other things. Does that make him a Christian? Well, that's a funny argument, a funny application, but it absolutely does not. You see, we read verses like this one in Joshua 23, and it says, "Keep the law and all that is written, and turn neither from the right hand nor to the left." And we immediately think about what we don't do. We immediately think, well, I don't do that, so I must be good. I don't do this set of things or hang out with these sets of people, so I must be good. I must be okay. As Christians, I think we need to get out of that mindset. Christianity is a religion of do, not don't. And the rules and the guidelines and the statutes and the laws that we see printed right here in our Bibles in front of us that God has put in place for us are not to spoil our fun, but they're for our protection. Young people a lot don't understand that. We as adults sometimes don't understand those things. So when Joshua here basically says to keep the word of the law, he's putting God's people in a special state of protection. Almost like a Star Trek force field that protects us if we stay inside of that force field. That's God's if we abide by His word. Sometimes we look at keeping God's word as living to a higher standard. But I prefer to think of it as a better state of protection. Sometimes even to protect me from myself. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, I think sums this up perfectly. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2, and we're just going to read those two verses here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Today, here in the 2016, do people who see you and interact with you know who you follow? This next phrase here up on the screen here, if people don't know that you follow Jesus, what do they know about you? It's an interesting question to ask. God's Word should be the absolute guiding post in truth and light in our lives. It should be our guide, it should be our shield, and it should be our sword. But sometimes our lives aren't reflecting that. I tell kids that you are literally walking billboards. When I speak at different places sometimes, I tell them you are walking billboards for Christ. We know what billboards do. They're very basic. They advertise a service, an idea, an organization, a product, any of those different things. They literally represent the company or organization for which they're advertising. And so the question is tonight, what are you advertising? Do you put your whole faith in God, in His Word, as a guide for your lives, or is it just kind of a half-hearted attempt? Are we looking, who are we looking at for guidance? Are we looking at the Word of God for guidance and at the church and God Himself? Or are we looking at the world? Because a lot of our kids, I know I keep speaking about kids and teenagers, but a lot of our kids are looking at the world for guidance on what they should be doing. Guidance on how they should act and how they should feel about certain things and different stances that they should have in certain political things. We need to make sure that we know and our kids know that this is what we should be abiding by. The second place tonight, the second point I want to make is Joshua simply says, number two, love God. Very simply, love God. If you'll drop down to actually go back to chapter 23, Joshua 23, verse 11 there, this is kind of, in my mind, a unique scripture in the Old Testament. Farther down in chapter 23 here, verse 11, Joshua says this. He says, "Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God." When modern-day Christians look at the Old Testament, we may not exactly see a God of love. We may not exactly see biblical characters encouraging and exhorting us to love God. We might see bloody battles and the expansion of God's kingdom and God striking people down for not following His law to the letter. Love is an idea that is so prevalent in the New Testament. It's so richly thought about in the New Testament. 1 John 4 is replete with love. That word, love, it's used 26 times in 14 verses in 1 John chapter 4. But we don't see sometimes that idea in the Old Testament. Why do you think that is? Joshua says it here, but why does he say it? Well, Joshua's smart. I think Joshua's a very intelligent man. And he knows one thing. He knows if we love someone, we won't leave them. If we love someone, that we won't leave them. In his book, The DNA of Relationships, Dr. Gary Smalley explains that we are made for three great relationships: with God, with others, and with ourselves. And he has a special program specifically for married couples who are planning to divorce. These couples have filed for divorce. They are making plans to actively pursue what they need to do to get a divorce. And the couples that go through his program, there's an astounding 95% success rate for couples reversing the way that they're thinking on those different things. In a nutshell, Dr. Smalley's, one of his biggest things, one of his founding principles, is if we truly love someone, we will not leave them. Joshua wanted the same thing for his people. He wanted them to remember to love God. Because if they loved Him, He knew that they would not leave Him. And the same is true for us today. If we truly love God, if we truly love His church, we'll serve Him in worship. We'll serve Him in loving others like He loved others. We will serve Him in all sorts of different aspects. We will stand up for what's right even when it's unpopular or even when we may be persecuted for it. We'll follow Him because we know that His way is the only way for our lives. So number two, I think Joshua says to love God. And number three this evening, he simply says, you need to make a choice. Make a choice. In chapter 24, verse 14, there's a block of scripture that's very familiar to us. And that those last few verses, I believe, in verse 16, are very, very familiar to us. And we're going to spotlight that verse now. We're going to look at that here, starting with verse 14 of chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers who served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The story of Salmon is an interesting one. It starts out with a genetic mechanism in the salmon that causes a physical change in the makeup of their bodies, and it enables them to leave freshwater and commit the next couple of years to living in saltwater, to living in the ocean. And so after spending 2 to 4 years, any amount of time in the salt water, they are mature and ready for the most difficult journey of their lives. This return requires them to travel upstream and reverse the swim that they made years earlier to reach the sea. And so in the course of this journey, they eat nothing. They actually use energy stored in their bodies while they were in the ocean. And finally, those who survive, and not all of them do survive, those who survive reach the river where they were born years earlier, and they lay their eggs. And the process just keeps repeating over and over again. Circle of life. Matthew Henry, connecting Joshua 24:15 with the story of Salmon, says, those that are bound for heaven must be willing to swim against the stream. They must not do as most do, but as the best do. Joshua knew what the easy path for his people was. He knew that marrying whomever they wanted, he knew that not following God and His precepts, he knew that worshiping other gods, he knew that all of that was the easy way out. But he implores the nation of Israel. He says, don't do that. Don't take the easy road. He even adds there at the end, he says, you know, as long as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have control to do whatever you want, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so Joshua puts a higher standard on the nation of Israel here. And as one of my friends put it one time talking about this passage, he said, if you set your standards low, you're going to meet them every single time. So tonight, I want to ask you, are you going to take the easy path? Are you going to take the easy path? Are you going to do the hard things that are required to be a child of God? This morning we talked about having patience in God's plan. Are you going to have the patience and the determination to stay with God even when it seems hopeless? I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey. While I don't subscribe to everything that he says, I think the most of what he says is correct. And he has a saying that I'm sure you could probably repeat if you're a Dave Ramsey listener. He says, live like no one else now so that later you can live like no one else. He's talking about money. I'm talking about getting to heaven. And getting there, we have to swim upstream. We will have to live our lives in service to God, live for no one around us, but live for Him. We need to be prepared to do that. Tonight, we've talked about three things. We've spotlighted three of the general's final orders. And it's amazing to me how the words of Joshua can apply to us so much thousands of years in the future. We got to remember his words. We have to remember his final orders and stick to the Word of God, love God and serve Him, and make a choice every single day, every time we get up, to live that life for Him. So tonight I ask you, are you in need of prayers? Are you struggling? Are you struggling to love God? Are you struggling to do those different things? If we give those things to God, whatever we're going through, if we give those things to God, He is faithful. And perhaps you haven't made the choice tonight to follow God. Perhaps you haven't been put on Christ through baptism. You can do that tonight. My question to you is, why do you wait? Why are you waiting? Make a change, make a choice tonight, and obey Him. Why don't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?